Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Interview Show. My name is Jerome Cusan, Senior Editor of Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Here tonight, we've got Johnny Gargano on for about the millionth time here tonight. And we talk about a number of things, PWG, Chikara, AIW, and WrestleCon, which is coming up next week. I forgot to mention during the interview with Gargano, so I wanted to mention this now. The show that he's going to be appearing on this very Friday night will be at Turner's Hall in Cleveland, Ohio, at 7325 Guthrie Street. Please go out and support one of our favorite companies. That would be AIW. They have a big show. There's going to be a number of great matches, including the 30-man gauntlet for the gold, Eric Ryan defending the AIW title against the winner of the 6-man scramble. The 6-man scramble will involve ACH, Davey Vega, Lewis Linden, Marion Fontaine, Colin Delaney, and Matt Cross. The winner faces Eric Ryan. The loser enters number one in the gauntlet for the gold. Girls Night Out showcase, Addie Starr versus Angelus Lane. The Battery versus the Jollyville Fuckets. Ethan Page versus Josh Prohibition. Nixon of Ricky Shane Page and Bobby Beverly against Josh Alexander and our big guest, Johnny Gargano. Without any further ado, let's go to the interview. Joining me on the line right now, he's a Pro Wrestling Ponderings favorite. He is a man, he's the Open the Freedom Gate champion, a new PWG superstar. He is Johnny Gargano. Johnny, how's it going tonight?
I'm absolutely fantastic. I think what number is this for us by now? I don't even remember at this point.
It's got to be seven or eight.
It's probably, man. It's been a while. We've always talked like throughout my entire career when I talked really bad early in the couple years ago.
Back when you were an immature brat.
Yeah.
And you've grown so much.
I'm still an immature brat, I guess. But I'm more of an adult one. I'm an adult, immature brat.
You're slightly more adult-like.
I'm like Rugrats all grown up. I'm kind of like, I'll drop one of those references on you. But that show kind of sucked. So, we'll see.
Well, let's talk about the shows that didn't suck. That would be All-Star Weekend from this past weekend, as you finally got a chance to make your PWG debut, teaming up with someone who you know pretty well, I'd say, Chuck Taylor. I guess it is mandatory that you team up in whatever promotion you're in together.
I think so. That's normally how it works out. This is amazing that we're attached to hip everywhere we go. And you would have thought that, like, years ago, I remember when, me and Chuck, before we even really met, and I used to watch videos of Chuck Taylor, and I'm like, oh, this guy's, he's really charismatic and he's really good. And then, the idea came about that we were going to start being together in Chikara, and we were going to start being together in Dragon Gate USA. We've teamed so many times at this point. It's just, he's the guy who I feel I have the most chemistry with, probably in wrestling, honestly, either. We have good chemistry when we're against each other, and we have good chemistry when we're teaming with each other. And we wrestle the Young Bucks, who I would wrestle the Young Bucks every single day for the rest of my life if I possibly could.
So, why don't you talk a little bit about sort of your overall experience in Rosita? I'll sort of ask you about the individual matches in a couple minutes, but I sort of want to hear about your thoughts about, actually getting to go to California this time and not being injured, as well as sort of the atmosphere that is Rosita, which has almost taken on legendary status.
I don't think words really do it justice. I mean, I just watched I'm sure everyone has watched at this point, the hype video for All-Star Weekend, Night 1. It just got posted last night. And that atmosphere is just so genuine and so special. I can't put it into words. I mean, before I debuted for PWG, I, of course, had watched the videos and been like, oh my God, this sounds amazing. But the videos don't do it justice. The crowd is so good, and it's just a special atmosphere. I think the word fun doesn't get used enough in wrestling, but I think when it does get used, it's used for the wrong reasons. Wrestling in Reseda for PWG is fun. It is fun. Instantly, being one of my top crowds I like to wrestle in front of. And the thing I like the most about it is those fans, for the past 10 years, have seen some of the best professional wrestling in the world. So going into it, you think they're going to be pretentious, or they're going to be like, impress me. No, they're there, they want to have fun, they want to have a good time, and they're very welcoming and very nice. It was such a phenomenal experience.
So sort of individually, you've wrestled the Young Bucks before. Obviously, I think most people remember the match that you had with them from Chikara Source Rex last year, but, you know, quite the way to debut, and especially given that the Young Bucks, their status in PWG, probably the two most hated men in that company.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a better debut for us. When that match got announced, I remember when we got announced for the weekend, the first thing that popped in my mind was, I want to wrestle the Young Bucks, because I love wrestling the Young Bucks. They are the best tag team in the world. No doubt in my mind, anyone, it doesn't matter, they are the best, the absolute best. And they're such good dudes, too, actually. I think me and Chuck have phenomenal chemistry with them. We proved it at the Chikara Swords Rex pay-per-view. And I think we, you know, we proved it at the end in Reseda. The match was just such a good spot for me to be in. The debut against the Young Bucks, guys I know very well, guys I love wrestling with, guys who I love working with. I couldn't have asked for a better debut, honestly. It's just everything worked out great. You know, the fans were very, very welcoming, and, you know, were very appreciative of everything we did in the night.
And obviously, the next night, you sort of took on a tag team. Have you ever wrestled Johnny Yuma and Johnny Goodtime?
I have not. The first time I actually saw them live was at the D's USA show. They did the fray. So that was the first time I actually seen them up close in person.
And what were your thoughts on experience of sort of getting to wrestle them? Unfortunately, you didn't get that other dream match with the Super Smash Brothers, but Rock Nest Monsters have sort of made their name in PWG, and I'm sure is quite an opportunity for them as well.
They did. And, you know, it was all for another money. I mean, you got guys who want to go out there and they want to steal the show, just like the Rock Nest Monsters do. And, you know, we went out there, and I think we put on a phenomenal match. People seem to like it. And it was great working with them as well. They're very talented. Very charismatic. A lot to play up off the name, you know, Johnny, because Chuck was the only Johnny not in the match. But, you know, we went out there, you know, we were put in a good spot again, and the crowd is just so appreciative and so just genuine. it's a weird word to use when you're describing a wrestling crowd, but they're just genuine. They're so just, such a special atmosphere, I can't even really explain it. You have to be there. You have to hear, like, I was talking to fans there, PWG fans who traveled there for the show, and they even said, like, they were honored to be a part of that crowd. And that crowd was just so good.
Yeah, I've been to PWG one time last May. I went to Death to All But Metal, and it's a special atmosphere. It's like nothing else in independent wrestling. And I say that with all due respect to some of the great cities, like, you know, obviously Chicago where I live, Philadelphia, but, you know, there's something in Reseda, there's something in the water that's completely different from any other city in the United States.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is. It's just so cool. And the fact that, you know, celebrities come to the shows, too, that's amazing to me. You know, they want to come and watch independent professional wrestling. That's just, it's crazy. It's like a guy from True Blood was there, a guy from Work Hollis was there. Britta from Community, I guess, comes from time to time. So I'm kind of putting all my eggs in the Britta comes to a, you know, PWG show and falls in love with me egg. I got all my eggs in there. So hopefully that happens eventually. She comes sometimes. But from Paramore, a tweet is about it. Like, it's such a weird thing, you know, independent wrestling, the way we view it. And people are actually fans, like, who are, you know, somebody. It's really cool.
Way more famous than you or I. That's basically
what I'm saying. Yeah, tell me about it. They have a K next to their follower name. I mean, when you get that, you're kind of moving up in the world.
Certainly. So I want to ask also, you know, we talk about the Reseda atmosphere, but another company that's, I think you're pretty well known for is AIW, and coming up later this week, you're going to be wrestling in a tag team match with someone who is rapidly rising up the cards, and that would be Josh Alexander. You're wrestling two guys who are also local to the Cleveland area in Bobby Beverly and Ricky Shane Page. And obviously, you know, this is an opportunity for Alexander to work with someone who is, you know, has such a storied history in AIW yourself and Bobby and Ricky. So why don't you talk a little bit about that tag match and the opportunity for Mr. Alexander?
You know, Alexander really reminds me of Elgin years ago, you know, he was going everywhere and he was stealing the show, but, like, he wasn't getting the recognition that he deserved. I'd love to go into this Friday night. I feel like it's really weird to say at 25 years old, but I'm, like, the veteran and the guy in AIW. So I feel like my job is to help the guys, you know, who are a little bit below me, like, weird as that sounds. Oh, and I think Justin Alexander is right on the cusp of breaking out, not just in AIW, but in independent wrestling, period. I think he's immensely talented, and every AIW show he goes out there, whether it's the first match, second match, third match, he goes out there and he steals the show. And when you can do that, and when the fans feel like they're getting behind you, like the AIW fans are getting behind him, I think that little extra oomph that hopefully I can bring this Friday night in that tag match with him. And I'm sure Bobby and Ricky are going to bring it as well, because they always do, and I've wrestled them a million times. They're going to bring it. So if we can give Josh Alexander that little oomph that he needs, go past me even, up into the upper echelon, then, you know, it's all worth it.
Now, there's one couple of things that I forgot to ask about with PWG, but I want to ask about a certain song that you and Mr. Taylor, I guess, came out to. Is this what happened?
Yep. So
why don't you tell the fans? Because it's actually going to be the open to this very podcast.
It is You Dropped the Bomb on Me, by the Gap Band. And how that all came about is the first time, a couple days later, so it's the first time I'm telling the story, was, you know, they didn't have my music. And Chuck Taylor wanted to come out to his stupid hillbilly music. I was like, that's not doing that. That's dumb. So we were driving to the show, and we were trying to come up with a theme song to come out to. And, like, Princes of the Universe was played by Queen, you know. All that, we were trying to think of what we wanted to come out to. And Chuck Taylor had You Dropped the Bomb on Me by the Gap Band on his phone. He started playing it, and we were all in the car, and we were like, I think this is it. This is fantastic. So it was kind of just right in the car, like, yeah, we should definitely come out to this song. So we get to the venue, and they are going through the rundown for the entrance music. And they play the original Fist song, and me and Chuck look at each other like, yeah, we're not coming back. So Chuck goes, and he gives them the bomb on me. And the first night it was kind of quiet, so I couldn't really hear it that well. So I was like, are we coming out to it? Like, I don't know what song we're coming out to. But then the second night, they were blasting it. And after coming out to that song, I love my current theme song, but after coming out to that song, I never want to come out to another song ever again, as long as I live. That song is so fun to come out to, especially in Reseda, with the crowd going absolutely nuts and clapping along to it and singing along to it and dancing to it. It's just, you know, it's amazing. And it's crazy. That song is immediately on my iPod. I listen to it when I walk out now. And I walked in the post office today, and as soon as I walked in and walked right up to the counter, that song started playing. And I was like, it's following me forever now. But that's a good thing. That song's amazing. And if you watch the video, me and Chuck Taylor were in Planet Fitness working out before the show. And I was watching the video on my phone. I came up to him, I showed it to him, and we kind of decided we're going to remake that video. So if you go to YouTube right now and watch You Dropped the Bomb on Me by the Gap Band music video, we're going to remake that video eventually. So just wait for it.
Oh, no. This sounds like the best idea ever. Who's
going
to...
Oh, it is. It's going to...
Have you decided on casting yet? I mean, obviously, you two are going to be in it, but have you thought about other people who are going to be involved in this?
You never know, man. You never know. It could get crazy. Let me look at the Gentleman's Club. You never know who could pop up in that thing. So we'll have to see. You never know.
So I would ask about, you know, if you could cast Rich Swann and Ricochet, but they have their own theme music to come out to, and I think that more so than even some of the matches that came out, I think people sort of had that song and what is that Lionel Richie song? It's
All Night Long.
All Night Long. How could I forget that? I'm going to get yelled at for that.
That was surreal. Watching that entrance and watching the crowd sing that song. Surreal. I mean, you can see it in the hype video, but it was just surreal rock just watching that happen. So I immediately thought my dream PVC match before this whole weekend even happened was me and Chuck Taylor against Ricochet and Rich Swann. And now, I really want that to happen because I want You Dropped the Bomb on Me and All Night Long to be sung by the crowd. Because I think a dueling chant of them singing You Dropped the Bomb on Me All Night Long would be fantastic. I think it's wrestling history. So
that's fantastic.
After those entrances and after the weekend, I want that match to happen so much. So, PWG fans, if you're listening to this, whenever that match happens, dueling sing-along. It's going down.
Yeah, I think that has to happen. I mean, I think it'll be a great match, but I'm more so excited for the singing of the crowd now than the actual wrestling that's going to take place.
Me too, man. Me too.
Unbelievable. How do you follow that up? I mean, that's top notch right there. And it's unfortunate the fans are never going to see that on DVD, obvious reasons.
That's the thing that kind of sucks. I mean, it's kind of like a good thing because you have to be in Reseda to experience it. So it's kind of like that, but I wish the crowd could just, people don't see just what the entrances are like. I think that's a cool thing DBG does too, because, you know, everyone else has uncopyrighted music. So, like, the people don't know the song that much. It takes a while to get into it. Like, people are kind of getting into my song, but, like, it takes a while. But, like, with that song, you hear that song you do all the time. You know all night long. You know you dropped a bomb on me. So as soon as that starts playing, you're into it right away. That's kind of a cool thing BWG has as well. They kind of have a lot of, like, cool little things they can do, because they got the entrance thing, plus they can use guys from DGUSA and Ring of Honor. They can make dream matches happen that you don't see other places. So there's a nifty little thing going on in Reseda right now.
So obviously the hope is that you're going to be back in PWG, but I want to sort of get back to AIW, because in addition to the tag team match, you've got the Gauntlet for the Gold, which is an event that you shocked the world and came back last year after your injury, and you came back and won it. So what is it like to sort of be in a Royal Rumble style match, even though it's sort of done on the indies?
Also, to touch on the Steve Eugene thing, I will most certainly be back. I want to make that place a priority because I think it's something really special. So I will be back in the future. I can guarantee you that. Also, as far as the Gauntlet for the Gold goes, you know, last year I came back and I won it, and that was one of the biggest reactions I personally been a part of. It was a phenomenal experience happening in my hometown, in the place I trained, and to come back and have to be an absolute surprise with no one knowing about it. I think only like 3 people knew about it. Like, even the people in the lot didn't really know what was going to happen. It was a game day decision that I'm going to come back and do that, because I felt like I was good enough. I was better enough to come back and do that, not to do an actual match, but to do that Royal Rumble type thing. The goal for the Gold has been around seemingly forever. I think I'm only one of 2 guys. I think Sterling James Keenan, Corey Graves has won it twice. I think I've won it twice. It was a 4-way tie the 1 year, which is crazy to say. All four of us went over the top at the same exact time. It was mind-blowing how that happened. It was me, Corey Graves, Crimson from TNA, and Fassad. We all went over it together, you know. So I kind of won it twice. It's fun, man. It's a fun little atmosphere. Like, if people get into it, because it's been built up so well, that the winner of that is going to go on to Absolution and get a chance at the Absolute title. So really, I mean, this year, I have no idea who anyone could win it at this point, because there hasn't been really any showing of who is the favorite or who the telltale guy that's going to go on to take on Eric Lyons for the Absolute title if he has that title of Absolution. So, I mean, it's up for grabs. You know, a new star could be born this Friday night.
Definitely, and AIW is also making waves because they announced that their second pay-per-view is going to be taking place on June the 30th, and this time it's just a regular AIW show, and it is the biggest show of the year, Absolution. So what are your thoughts on seeing, you know, this company that you have sort of grown with together, you know, getting a chance to really showcase itself on pay-per-view?
It's really fulfilling. You know, I've been around AIW since basically the beginning. And, you know, to see a company come up from basically nothing and to be where they're at currently, running an pay-per-view that people want to see, people, you know, I think AIW has a certain buzz about it because they're another place that can do matches, me versus Michael Elgin, that, you know, other places can't do. They got a lot of buzz, they got a lot of the people that are interested in their shows, and I think Absolution is going to help over. That's the chunk of the year for them. People want all the stops, they go big every single year. Me and Brian Dickin were 30 minutes tall 1 year in the main event. So, you know, you never know what could happen at Absolution. In fact, as Harry and I interviewed, that people from all over the world purchase and they can watch live, and they only have promotion, and only helps the company grow into what, you know, they're ultimately hopefully going to be one day.
Has anyone wrestled on more pay-per-views than you? Between the DGUSA ones, the Chikara one you did, it seems like you've been on, like, every pay-per-view since they started.
I think I have. I'm Mr. iPay at this point. I do them all, man. You know, I was backstage during the AIW one with the girl night out. So I was there. I was in the building. They did wrestle, but, you know, I was at the iPay review. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think IMAX reviews are awesome. You know, they're the way of the future. They let people from, you know, wherever you are in the world, England, Germany, wherever, stay up late, watch professional wrestling that's going on in Cleveland, Ohio. You know, I think it's great. I think it's for guys, too, you know, to let them wrestle in front of a live atmosphere and let guys, you know, get used to wrestling in front of a live atmosphere. You know, you're gone. You're live. We're live, buddy. So you can do basically anything. And, you know, you got to make it count. You got to make everything mean something.
And, you know, you mentioned the match with Michael Elgin earlier, and why don't you talk about getting a chance to wrestle someone like that? You know, Michael Elgin is obviously making his name sort of in Ring of Honor. He's been around for a while, but it's only been in the last couple of years that his career has taken off. And I guess sort of similar to you, you know, both of you guys have been wrestling for quite some time now. And it's only now that I think people are really starting to say that, you know, you two are some of the best.
I've known Michael Elgin for a very long time. Even back in the early days of UWA Hardcore, you know, I'd see him backstage at shows and whatnot. So I've known him for a very long time. And I'm very, very happy to see him get the recognition he deserves. He's immensely talented. He's crazily strong. One of the strongest men I've ever been in the ring with. I think he's shown his feats of strength every single time. At PWG this weekend, he was a monster. He pretty on top of him. It was ruthless. He's an absolute monster. And the thing about him is he's a strong dude. He's a monster. But he can go, man. He can go like no other. He can go in that ring with guys like Davey Richards, as he showed, and have freaking five-star matches. I mean, he's crazily talented, and he's really unique. He's very, very unique, and he's something really special. And I'm so happy that he's getting the recognition he deserves. And I was so happy that we were able to have that match in the IW. Because, you know, we don't get the lock one very often, seeing as I'm in the USA, he's in Ring of Honor. But now, hopefully, in PWG, we'll get to do that a little bit more. But I think matches like that, dream matches that people can't see, are really what people want to see nowadays. That's where the money's at, is the dream matches. Me versus Michael Elgin, me versus whoever. I think that's where wrestling is headed, and that's what wrestling wants to see, and that's what fans are very excited about. So I think to be able to put on matches like that with guys like that is always a good time.
Yeah, I think companies like PWG, AIW, and AAW is like the three companies that can do those types of matches because, you know, of the contractual obligations that some of you guys are under. So, you know, I think that's sort of how they've made their name over these last couple of years.
Exactly. And I mean, that's good for independent wrestlers. It's good for all of us if companies are able to do that, and companies are able to make money, and companies are able to rise because of those certain stipulations put on us. But I think, you know, wrestling fans are good. Wrestling promotions around the world is nothing but a good thing. A good wrestling promotion in Ohio, a good wrestling promotion in Reseda, California, does nothing but great things for independent professional wrestling, because fans get more battle, great matches. Fans get more opportunities to see awesome places, and awesome places put on great matches.
Definitely, and I want to ask briefly about a recent Chikara match that you've had, because I've heard nothing but good things, and I'm going to be reviewing that show that you wrestled Gran Akuma on this weekend, but I know that Akuma has said a lot of nice things about it, and I was just wondering sort of your thoughts on getting to wrestle the former Fist member, Gran Akuma, finally having the one-on-one match that feels like this has been like 3 years in the making, and you finally got to have it.
Yeah, I've been built up for a while. I mean, it's been 3 years, like you said. It's been 3 years. Like, wow.
Yeah, three years in July that you joined Fist and Akuma was kicked out.
Wow, that's time flies, man. I think, you know, especially with Gran Akuma, I feel like you don't get to see the real, like, 100% go Johnny Gargano with Chikara. You get to see, you know, a lot of times I'm in six-man tag matches. A lot of times I'm doing that sort of thing. So you don't get to see the real guy. I think that places like Dragon Gate USA, places like Evolve, places like that get to see, due to, you know, our status in the company and where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be this. But I think the match with Gran Akuma allowed me to be the Johnny Gargano you see in Dragon Gate USA, the Johnny Gargano you see all over everywhere else. And I think I was able to pull that out and have the match, a singles match, was hard-hitting, fast-paced, innovative, you know, things like that with Gran Akuma. You know, in a top-notch singles match that people seem to really enjoy. I feel like I offer a lot more, and I feel like it was my time to be able to showcase that and show this car fans, like, hey, look, man, like, I'm not just doing my bad matches. That's all. People who just watch Tara, I go all over the world, and I do things. I put on a pretty decent match sometimes, so I'm glad I was able to do that with Rana Kuma, and I enjoyed it as well.
I mean, you have been the champion for a company since November of 2011. That's got to count for something.
I know, right? I think the McFeely is 500 days at this point, I think.
Yeah, CM Punk has nothing on you at this point, right?
I know, right? I don't keep track. I think it's 500 days, 500-something days. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy to think about. If you would have told me, no, I keep the title for 500-something days back when I won it, you know, years ago at this point. You know, I never would have guessed it.
Who would have thought that you and Eddie Kingston would win your respective titles on the same day, and you're still both the champions, he for Chikara and you for Dragon Gate?
It's crazy, but I think that does nothing but good for, you know, indie wrestling. I think that does nothing but good for the title to have a title for a certain period of time, and a long length of time makes the title mean more, I feel. As, you know, WWE has shown, having Punk have the title for so long, I think that really elevated the WWE title. As you know, it was a hot potato for a while that everyone, this guy had it. I think having a title on one guy for a while really raises the prestige of the title. You know, I'm doing whatever I can, traveling wherever I can to make that title mean even more.
So let's get into this, the Dragon Gate situation. Obviously, you're going to be a big part of WrestleCon for Evolve and both Dragon Gate USA shows that take place next week. WWN Live is the place to go for the iPay-per-views. But, of course, if you're in the area, if you're in Secaucus, the Meadowlands, you'll be at the convention center the whole weekend. It is a chock-full weekend of shows with just every company, it seems like, running something. And, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about sort of what WrestleMania weekend has become, sort of just with all these shows and so much for wrestling fans to see.
WrestleMania weekend has become the pinnacle, not just in wrestling, but the pinnacle for independent professional wrestling as well. Because we get the chance, people from all around the world come in for WrestleMania, and they get the chance to come to see other wrestling shows that they never get to see. And my favorite part of this whole weekend is the fact that a lot of people who have never seen independent professional wrestling before finally get a chance to come to their very first show. And especially if they're coming to a Dragon Gate USA show for the first time, it's going to blow their mind. Because I've been on every Dragon Gate USA show since the dawn of time. And I've seen every single show. And I still see something new every single time. And my mind still gets blown on how talented those guys are. So if this is your first time ever seeing independent professional wrestling in general, and you're coming to the show, it's going to blow your mind. You know, I think it's such a cool atmosphere. You know, back when I got hurt last year, and as soon as I got hurt, I knew I had to be back for WrestleMania weekend. I had to be back for those shows, because those were the shows that were the biggest shows of the year, and there was no way I was going to miss it. This year, especially with WrestleCon, where you have so many different promotions, all the top promotions in independent professional wrestling under one roof, basically, putting on these shows. It's just a cool thing, not just for the wrestlers, but especially for the fans, because they get to go to one area and they get to see all this talent in one building, and it's just such a cool atmosphere. And I talked about how receded atmosphere is something special. WrestleMania weekend is something special as well.
So at Evolve, it's sort of a light night for you, given what's coming in the next two nights, but you're going to be teaming with Brian Kendrick and taking on the Gentleman's Club of Drew Gulak and Orange Cassidy. You know, Drew Gulak is someone that I've had a chance to watch a lot of recently. He's a guy that does not get, you know, a lot of credit for being as good of a technical wrestler as he is, but why don't you talk about wrestling someone like Drew Gulak and Orange Cassidy, you know, for the first time, right? This is your first time wrestling them, correct?
Yes, my first time, and you know, it's crazy that, you know, you mentioned Drew Gulak doesn't get the recognition he deserves. He really does. He's very unique. That is the best way I can describe it. He's very unique. He's very technically sound. He's very different. Orange Cassidy as well. I mean, he's very talented as well. I mean, the thing that people don't understand, because, you know, Orange Cassidy does do a lot of humor. He does do a lot of comedy. And Drew Gulak does as well with the Gentleman's Club. But they're both very, very talented. They both can go in that ring, or else they wouldn't be involved in the first place. They do offer comedy, they do offer, you know, some levity in the Gentleman's Club, but they are very talented, and I'm sure, I mean, Brian Kendrick, who wants to go, when I wrestled him in California, he wanted to bring it. He wants to bring it. He is 100% re-energized, and he's ready to go. So I think, you know, me and Spanky teaming for the first time against basically the Gentleman's Club is going to be something very, very different. But it's going to be something good, I can guarantee it.
So what's it like to have someone like Brian Kendrick? You know, you've wrestled him, obviously, out in California. Now you're teaming with him, someone who I think a lot of longtime independent wrestling fans are, you know, very well aware of. What's it like to get a chance to sort of learn from him and team with him?
It's amazing. You know, I love Ring of Honor. I watch Ring of Honor all the time growing up. And, you know, Spanky was one of my favorite guys. He's just so charismatic. He's so good. And, you know, even in WWE, like, I love Spanky. I love the Brian Kendrick. I mean, I remember when he was kind of WWE champion for, like, 3 seconds. And I went crazy for that because, you know, it's so cool. But, yeah, he's so talented. And, like, I think when independent promotions bring in certain guys who are older and who have been there, you know, it kind of gets a bad rap because guys are like, you know, they don't want to go. They don't want to wrestle. But I think if you bring in the right guys and put them in that locker room, they can do nothing to benefit from it. Brian Kendrick is a guy who is immensely talented, and he's so knowledgeable. He's so smart. People do not realize how smart Brian Kendrick is. When you watch his promos, and they're just so different, and he's just such a smart person. It's like a genius. To be able to team with him and kind of, you know, there aren't a lot of guys in the indies anymore that I can learn from, because, you know, a lot of guys are gone at this point. Like, I got the chance to work with Brian Diaz, which is an amazing learning experience, and guys like that. But there aren't a lot of guys like that anymore. Like, it's weird to the point where, like, you know, I'm the guy like that nowadays. Chuck Taylor's the guy like that nowadays. Sammy Callahan's the guy like that nowadays. But when you get a guy like Brian Kendrick, who is so smart and so knowledgeable, and I get a chance to team with him, just like I wrestled him last time, I think I can do, like, a benefit from it.
And then the next night, I think this is probably one of the most anticipated matches of the entire weekend. I don't, you know, obviously with, you know, pretending that WrestleMania doesn't exist, we'll just say for the sake of the independence, this is one of the most anticipated matches of the weekend. You're going to be wrestling Shingo, a guy that, you know, a lot of American fans are familiar with. You know, he did a, you know, basically did a mini tour of the United States, wrestled in, you know, Ring of Honor and FIP for so long, and, you know, he was a big part of the early days of DGUSA. And you never got a chance to wrestle him, and now you're getting a chance to wrestle him in DGUSA in singles for the Open the Freedom Gate title. What are your thoughts on getting a chance to wrestle someone with the pedigree of Shingo?
You know, all these places I've wrestled, you know, PWG fans came up to me and asked me about the match for Shingo. Chikara, people came up to me and asked me about the match for Shingo. Every independent professional wrestling promotion I go to, people come up to me and ask me about the match for Shingo. This is the match everyone's looking forward to. Me versus Shingo, one-on-one for the first time ever. And really, I think the main event spot of the weekend. You know, Saturday night is kind of like, you know, the big spot. And to main event that show, one-on-one with Shingo, for the Open Freedom Gate Championship, it's everything I ever wanted. You know, when I got into independent professional wrestling, when I started wrestling, I wanted to be the guy. I wanted to be, you know, the face. I wanted to be the guy that people look to, and they say, that's the guy. And this is my chance to show the world that I am that guy. And to get in the ring with a guy like Shingo, who is so talented and so good, and a guy who goes out there every single night, you know, even when I was in Japan at house shows, he'd go out there every single night and kill himself. So he's coming back to America for the first time in years. He's trying to put on a show and a match that people aren't going to forget. And I can guarantee you, me versus Shingo one-on-one, is going to be something crazy. It's going to be something that you do not want to miss, because I know my spot on that card in the main event, Saturday night, WrestleMania weekend. That is a spot that people dream of having. And to have that spot, I know what's asked of me, and I know what I'm going to need to do. And I can guarantee you it's going to be something you won't forget.
Did you ever see yourself wrestling Shingo? I mean, the first Dragon Gate USA show, you know, you were on the pre-show, and Shingo was wrestling Naruki Doi when he was the Open the Dreamgate champion. Did you ever think of it that you would get this opportunity?
I want to say yes, but no. You know, I remember sitting back and watching that entire show after it happened, while it was happening, and just thinking about how good those guys were, how good Naruki Doi is, how good Shingo is, how good Shima is. And just watching them, you know, it really motivated me. You know, it motivated me to want to get to their level. And now that I feel like I'm kind of at their level, being in the ring with Shingo motivates me to want to be better. I never would have dreamt that, you know, I'd be in this spot. But I think that shows that, you know, if you work hard, if you're a good person, and if you just don't stop, you don't take no for an answer, and you just keep going, you can make anything happen in the world.
And the next day, you know, obviously the six-man tag in Dragon Gate is sort of a legendary aspect of WrestleMania weekend, going back to 2006 in Chicago. You know, one of the best matches of that weekend was the Dragon Gate six-man tag that took place at Ring of Honor. And, you know, it's sort of been a tradition, you know, 06, 07, 08, it was in Ring of Honor, but then starting in 2010, it was in Dragon Gate USA. And this is sort of the fourth time in DGUSA this is being done. And now, I believe this is the second time you're involved in it. And it's going to be sort of your team versus Shima team. And obviously, you know, this is another, you know, within 12 hours, you're pretty much, or I believe like within 24 hours, you're sort of having two of the biggest matches of the year in one weekend. So any pressure, do you feel any pressure about that?
There is some pressure. But like I said, I love the pressure. You know, I love being the guy that people put this burden upon to deliver in these matches. You know, I love the pressure. I want to be that guy. So, you know, it's what I want. I remember back when, you know, Dragon Gate did that six-man tag and I got fires and I saw the match. You know, it's absolutely crazy. And back then, you know, I was just starting in wrestling. And to think, like, years on the line, I'd be captaining my own team in this match. It's surreal to really think about. It's really something that, you know, blows my mind still, that I'm captaining a team to go against Shima's team, Shima. It's so surreal for me. Like I said, every single year everyone looks to the Dragon Gate six-man tag as the match you have to see. This is going to be crazy. They know it's going to be crazy, because as the years pass, it's always been crazy. It's always been great. And when you think of WrestleMania weekend, and you think of indie wrestling, you think Dragon Gate six-man tag. That's always been the one staple that happens every single year. And this is my second time being a part of it. And it's me, Ricochet, and Rich Swann against Shima, Ada, and Shima's secret weapon. I mean, it's going to be something crazy. And I think, especially this year, it's something cool, too, because just like last year, there's a little story involved with me and Shima. So yeah, on top of the crazy, insanely athletic contest that's going to be involved, is going to be, you know, make it something really special as well.
So that is WWNLive.com. That is the place to go for iPay-per-view, and obviously at the Meadowlands Convention Center, where I'm basically going to be camped out the whole weekend. I'm going to Evolve, CZW, Shimmer, Chikara, and both Dragon Gate USA shows.
Wow. You're going to hate wrestling by the end of the
weekend. You know, it's funny you say that, because that is exactly what I've been telling everyone, that I'm going to hate wrestling by about 3:30, 4 o'clock when the DGUSA show ends.
Oh yeah, you're gonna hate it so much. I don't envy you at all. It's crazy for me. I go to a wrestling show, and I'm a wrestling fan, and I watch wrestling. And fans don't get enough credit for what they have to go through. Sitting through an entire show is hard. Like, it's really hard, especially if the show is really, really long and it goes like past midnight, which a lot of them do. It's crazily hard to be a wrestling fan. So, as hard as what I do, I'm only in the ring for like 20, 25 minutes. You're sitting there all night watching our stuff.
All so, day yeah, and night.
You guys deserve more credit.
So, yeah, and that's not even taking it into consideration. I'm not going to WrestleMania. And a lot of my friends are going to all the six shows that I mentioned, or they're going to Ring of Honor instead of CZW. Then they're going to WrestleMania. So those people are going to despise wrestling.
Oh, man. I mean, we talked about how WrestleCon is so good for wrestling. Man. Maybe it's going to be the opposite. Maybe what am I doing in my life? I'm going to go home and tree and watch. I don't know what's hot nowadays. Watch True Blood or something. I don't know. I've never watched True Blood in my life.
They'll watch the last season of The Office, is what they'll watch.
Oh, they're going to cry, too.
Yeah, are you going to cry for the season? Because I actually wanted it.
I'm really mad. Because I saw Steve Carell's tweet about wishing people good luck at the final filming. Why isn't he there? Like, come on. Like, they can't just bring him back for the last episode. The last episode should be him and Holly getting married. I think that's what should be what it is, getting out of it. But no, it's going to suck now. And I'm still going to cry because the show's over and it's crazy this ending. But yeah, I'm going to be a wreck.
Do you still actually like the show? Because I know there are a lot of people, like, I know that I sort of gave up on it a couple seasons ago because it was just getting pretty bad. What are your thoughts on sort of this whole run, like, from beginning to end?
I don't like it. You know, I'm so committed to it that I feel like I have to watch it. Interesting for a second when, you know, they were teasing the whole Pam cheating on him with that dude. And it was the camera dude. And, you know, if they would have did that, if they would have had Pam cheat on Jim with that camera dude, I would have never trusted another female for as long as I live. That would have completely ruined anything. I would have been like, any girl that would approach me, I would be like, get away from me. You just cheat on me with a camera guy. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't really like it. It's not very good. The characters are kind of weird now. But I'm just so committed. You know, I think once Steve Carell left, they tried to reinvent the show, but it hasn't been the same. And they can't recreate that magic that Steve Carell brought to that show. It just feels empty. You know, it just feels, you know, like it's missing that one important factor. And it's heartbreaking for me because I love that show so much. And now it's a shell of its own former self.
What are you going to do to replace that void in your life of The Office?
See, I've been watching other things. I'm a big Community guy, even though Community has kind of fallen off the wagon too lately. Since Dan Harmon left, you know, it's kind of... that's kind of sad. How I Met Your Mother, I'm a big How I Met Your Mother guy. The episode this week was... I don't know, man. How I Met Your Mother makes me feel so many feelings when I'm watching it. So I'm big into that. You know, Walking Dead, of course. I'm a big Walking Dead guy. I got the finale coming up this way too, where apparently 27 people are going to die.
Oh, boy.
There's even 27 people on the show, so everyone's going to die.
And they're going to kill a few extras, I guess, too.
They did just kill everyone except the baby, and, like, the whole show was just, like, showing the baby just sitting there, and that's it. Every week, just a still camera shot of the baby next season, and that's it. There's nothing more. That's what's going to happen. and it'll still get, like, the most ratings in the history of television ever.
Yes, because people are—they just want their zombies. That's all they want, so they're gonna watch it.
It's such a good show. I think it's the best show on television currently. Governor is such a good character. I love him as well. But I don't think Oh, we'll see what happens.
It's gonna be interesting.
So The Office, Community, How I Met Your Mother, Walking Dead, Parks and Rec. I'm a big Parks and Rec guy as well. Parks and Rec has been so much better than The Office, so that's kind of. As a silver lining, at least.
That's a show that I've never given a real opportunity to, and I feel like I need to now.
You have to. The first couple episodes, because I watched the first episode live of Parks and Rec, and it was bad. It was bad. You know, you watched it because, you know, it's from the makers of The Office. So I was like, I'm going to put Amy Poehler's in it. And the I'm sorry. So it was like, you know, the first episode wasn't good at all. But as the season progresses, and season 2 and 3 is just so good. If you give it a shot, I mean, Netflix has them all. Netflix is a godsend, so you can just watch everything on there.
Love Netflix. One of the reasons that I want to give Parks and Rec another chance is because Aubrey Plaza's in it, and Aubrey Plaza is great in a film called Safety Not Guaranteed. I'm not sure if you've ever seen that before.
I've never heard of that, no.
You need to go to Netflix, and you need to watch it yesterday, because I think you'll really like it. Aubrey Plaza's in it, and I don't know if you watched The League, but one of the guys from The League.
Everyone tells me to watch The League. Every single person tells me to watch The League. I haven't watched it yet.
You're a football guy. I think you'll really like it.
I am.
So.
See, I watched the first episode. I think it's kind of the same. I mean, if you watch the first episode of anything and it's not very good, you're like, eh. But everyone tells me to power through because, you know, it gets so much better as the years progress. So I'm going to give it another shot. I really want to give it a shot, too. I haven't watched 30 Rock yet. I've been waiting for a tour. So my next tour of England and Germany, I'm going to get kind of into 30 Rock a little bit.
All right, so I'll make you a deal. So you will give The League a chance. I will give Parks and Rec a chance. The next time we have you on, we will discuss both.
Sounds good. We'll do it. Do it up.
So you mentioned that you were going to England and Germany. What are you going to be doing over there? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Back to wrestling. We've talked enough movies for this show and TV shows.
We'll talk about wrestling. I can host my own podcast at the office. Every week. Oh, that's off. It's fun this weekend. Well, let's talk about season 2 and 3 again, because those were the good times.
So
that's going to be all my podcast. It's not entertaining at all.
The last episode will just be you crying after the finale.
I'm definitely going to cry. Oh, where is it down my mind? It's going to be so bad. It was so sad when Michael left. I cried when that happened. I cry a lot, man. I do really confess for wrestlers, it's so tough. I was watching Wreck-It Ralph on the plane home, right home from Los Angeles. I was crying during that. So, I mean, who knows?
There have been at least 2 episodes of How I Met Your Mother when it's definitely gotten a little dusty in my room. I don't want to spoil specifically,
sad.
But...
You can spoil it. Who cares? It's so sad. I mean, you guys probably know what you're talking about.
Right. It's
which moment are you talking about?
I'm talking about with Robin and Barney on the rooftop.
That was a proposal?
Yes.
Yeah, that was something.
That was so well done. So well done.
It was. What about when Robin found out she couldn't have kids?
Yeah, I mean, and then this past Mondays. I mean, wow.
That was sad, right? I was going to Facebook that earlier because I watched it today, and I was like,
it was sad, and you were. I just thought to myself, you know, they better introduce the mother at the end of this season, or I'm going to riot.
Because they're just burying him. He's just getting beaten down to death. Like, he's got to make a come at some point. Like, he's, come on. Like, he's all alone. He's not having any.
He is literally all alone. He is going to. He is a typical wrestling fan because they even made the reference, robots versus wrestling. So This is what Ted Mosby's life has come down to. He is all alone in New York. He's from Cleveland, so you know the.
He's basically me. I'm a mix of Michael Scott, Ted Mosby, and Troy Barnes. I think that's the best imitation of Gargano. Is those three people. Into one mega person. I think that's the best element I can describe myself in.
Is that something you really want to be, or is it do you just feel like it's sort
it's
of
just
fate?
Me, man. I don't know. It's just me. I can't get because I've watched these shows and I'm like, yep, that's something I do. And I think the watch How I Met Your Mother is going to be a big swerve, and like the kids don't exist, and Ted actually just kills himself in the final because he's all alone. That's it. He's like, oh, kid, you don't exist because I killed myself back in.
That would be. I mean, CBS loves their procedurals, so I think that would turn into CSI New York again with How I Met Your Mother. Craziness. So
that's my theory. I have a lot of theories on How I Met Your Mother. There's a lot of episode 2, as we're sort of diverging into professional wrestling here.
we have fallen off the rails. What other theories do you have on How I Met Your Mother? I want to hear some of these.
You remember the episode of the St. Daddy's Day party?
Yes.
Ted actually bumps into a woman. And there's this moment where they bump into each other and he says sorry. And he keeps walking. But like, there had to be a reason they added that in. Because the mother is at the party. And, you know, it was just a little one-off thing. I don't know if it was one of those things that writers like, oh, people are going to think this is the mother. Or that is the actual mother. But if you go back and you watch, there is a part of that where... he bumps into a girl, says sorry, and that's it. And they don't mention it again. So, you never know. That could be the mother. Just saying.
You know, that show has had such incredible continuity over the years. It would not surprise me.
It does. The continuity of How I Met Your Mother is fantastic.
Because they will reference things that happened seasons ago, and I'll forget it, but they obviously didn't. And it's good that they remember.
I hate How I Met Your Mother, by the way.
What?
Just put that little tidbit out there.
Who hates it?
Chuck Taylor. He hates How I Met Your Mother.
Why?
Because, and this is his stupid reason, it's got a laugh track in it. And he can't watch anything with a laugh track. But then I brought up Boy Meets World, and of course he's like, oh, it's different. He said, I don't want people telling me when to laugh. But yeah, so that's the one reason he won't watch How I Met Your Mother, because it's got a laugh track in it. Because he's closed-minded.
Is it weird that I completely forgot that it has a laugh track? Like, I don't really notice it.
I don't notice it.
I mean, you just mentioned it, and I didn't even think about it. It's really subtle, I guess.
It is, but wow. I guess Chuck Taylor can't get over it. We always Chopping on me this weekend. Well, Chester also cried for Torso, like, twice. Well, I did too, but I'm just, whatever.
But I know that Chuck Taylor, based on his recent Art of Wrestling podcast, is a, he is a Archer fan, which is another show that I love and is really fantastic. And if you have not seen it, then you should.
Really, we really divulged into everything. Like,
yes, we have.
Professional wrestling.
Yes, we have completely fallen off the rails, but that's okay. Archer is great.
This is how it always goes.
So yeah, Archer, really good. You have so many shows that you can watch now on your various trips around the world, including England and Germany. Who are you wrestling, and what's sort of going on with that European trip? Comes at the end of April, correct?
Yes, it is at the end of April, and it's like the craziest, weirdest collection of people ever. It's like me, Kevin Steen, Tommy Dreamer, Goldust, and Ted DiBiase on one show. For Preston Wrestling, and it's going to be easy. And I'm also wrestling for Southside Wrestling, and I'm also making my WXW debut in Germany in the craziest matchup ever. And as soon as it got announced, I was like, holy crap, this is going to be nuts. It is Zack Sabre Jr., Peace Crow, against me and Prince Devitt. In a crazy tag match, it's going to blow people's minds.
Oh yes, I did hear about this. That sounds amazing. Have you seen Prince Devitt's Twitter lately?
I have not. I've seen it sometimes. Me and him did the last tour thing when he was on it with me, but I have not looked at it recently.
Well, Prince Devitt has recently completed a heel turn in New Japan.
Really?
And you need to go read his Twitter. I don't want to even say anything. Anyone who's listening to the show is probably thinking to themselves, oh God, you need to go read Prince Devitt's Twitter. It is well worth going out of your way to see.
Really? Is it?
He's just, he's being a dick.
Okay, go.
So,
all right, we'll go check that out. I got that. I'm going to go check that out then.
So, yes, that match does sound great, and that's for WXW, right?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of, it's weird. I had always had places, like, that I watch from hunger, and I'm like, I want to go elsewhere. I pretty much that everywhere. Like, PWG, like, especially these last 2 months, like, PWG in California, I did that, and WXW in Germany, I did that. You know, so it's, I can retire now, I'm done. I'm going to retire after that, and I'll just disappear. You'll never hear from me again.
So, yes, you have, in one calendar year, and almost in 90 days, you'll have gotten to wrestle in Reseda and in WXW, in that incredible atmosphere that, you know, obviously, I think among independent wrestling fans, that atmosphere in Oberhausen is almost as legendary as Reseda or the arena in Philadelphia.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that's what I am so pumped for, is just the atmosphere alone and the crowds all around the ring, you know. Backlit Pro was a cool atmosphere as well, because, you know, it was surrounded by, like, a cage, and you were kind of like a crazy little Fight Club dungeon-type feel to it, and that was awesome last time I was in England. But, yeah, I can't wait to have that match in front of those fans. As soon as I saw that me and Prince Devitt were a team, I was like, holy crap, this is going to be awesome.
That's big time, when you're teaming up with someone like him, who's become such a big international star. Yeah, that's a big opportunity. So, I believe we're going to wrap things up here. We have we've talked a lot of wrestling. We've also talked about a lot of TV shows. I have been assigned to watch Parks and Rec, and
yep,
you
the League and Archer.
You need to watch The League, Archer, and Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a film also on Netflix Instant Watch. So
there we go.
So it's beautiful, Netflix Instant, making lives easier for everyone.
See, my problem with Netflix. It's like I never end up watching things. I just scroll through, and I can never pick. So I just, like, spend, like, 3 hours scrolling. And I'm like, So the amount of time I could watch an actual movie, or, like, 8 television shows, I'm just spent scrolling through and being like, I don't know. So, like, there's too many options.
This is why I try to pick a TV show that I'm going to watch and then just try to watch that. It really helps focus my watching. Like, last year, I just plowed through How I Met Your Mother in, like, 2 months, and that really helps. So, that really helps. If you pick a TV show that has a good amount of episodes and just really focus on that, You know, I think that'll help your ADD, because it happens that's to me, too.
Well, that's my goal with 30 Rock as well. So, because everyone tells me I need to get into that. And that's like my tour of Japan when I was in Japan for like a month or however long I was there. That's when I got into community. I'd spend every waking minute watching that. And like, it's such a good show, man. Oh, it was such a good show. It's like, okay, it's so good. It's so genius. It's like such a smart comedy. It's great.
Yeah, I think Remedial Chaos Theory is probably my favorite episode of that show of all time.
There's so many good episodes.
Yes,
man.
The paintball episodes. Oh, it's
so yeah. I'm hoping that Britta comes to the next PVG show, and then, you know, I can impress her with my fantastic professional wrestling skills.
I think you need to work community references into your moveset somehow. That's what I think you have to do.
I want her to bring like her and freaking Alice and Lee. And they both like me,
and then Johnny Gargano retires and is never seen again.
That's the dream. That's the dream. I live the dream. I'm done. You can't go any higher than that. I don't think. I topped out.
No, unless Steve Carell comes and he falls in love with you, man. Then
that would be. I don't think I'd be able to like. I put on the best wrestling match of my entire life if Steve Carell was in the audience. If all the chicks were in the audience, I don't know. It would be the best, or it'd be the worst. I wouldn't be able to focus, and I just like, you know, and like the Green Ranger's there, like, and he's dressed like the Green Ranger for some reason. He's not in normal clothes. Isn't even like he's dressed like Green Ranger, and he's sitting in the front row.
I think you've out nerded me on this show, which is a good thing. I think you've out nerded a lot of the people that we've ever had on this podcast. Last week Kevin Steen and I were talking about zoos. This week it's TV. So
he's a zoo enthusiast.
Yes, I understand that there were some fans who, after they listened to the interview, wanted to start bringing him zoo passes. This makes me very, very happy.
Wow, like zoo passes to like various. Zoo,
to yes, to where they want to they where they want to I guess to their local zoo.
That's great.
So for Johnny Gargano, we get you Amazon gift certificates, right, or something like that, so you could buy seasons of TV
please
shows.
Do. Bring me that stuff. Chipotle gift card. Alison Brie, go kidnap her. I'm asking a lot of my fans right now that are listening.
The Alison Brie thing is going to be a really tough sell.
One crazy guy's going to do it.
And then it's your fault.
I got to be a friend. I got to go get her.
Do you watch Mad Men?
I do not.
Well, Alison Brie's on that show, so that's another show for you to watch. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I mean, she's not in every episode, but...
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, that's probably my favorite show on TV. But you have to have the patience for it. It's a drama, so.
Yeah, I got enough heart-wrenching things with How I Met Your Mother and with Walking Dead. Also, if Lauren Cohen can come, with Maggie from Walking Dead, if she can come as well, that'd be great.
That would be great. On that note.
She's English, so she should come to the England shows.
Exactly. See,
it's
this is...
That, like, that's my thought as a dude from America. Like, man, England's
they all just live in the same place.
I'll run into it somewhere, I guess. That's my thought process.
All right, Johnny, why don't you go ahead and plug your stuff? Because I know people are going to desperately want to follow you on Twitter now after the wonderful conversation we've had.
I know, right? I mean, I want to get that K next to my number thing. I'm only at 7,000, so I got to get to 10,000 to get that K. So if like 3,800 people listen to this, all go follow me on Twitter because I need that K. You can follow me on Twitter. See how my voice changed there to get into like plug mode. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny Gargano. I'm mildly entertaining most times, and I talk about fun stuff. And I don't retweet compliments because that's a big thing that people get mad at, is that, you know, people are putting themselves over on Twitter. Like Jimmy Jacobs did this past weekend with his match with Shane Hollister. So if Jimmy Jacobs is listening to this,
he actually retweeted two of my tweets because it was really good. I assure you, it's not like he was
one of the main proprietors of like, oh, don't retweet compliments. And like, he's retweeting. I got like 100 things. Like, Jimmy Jacobs is so good. Jimmy Jacobs wore a fancy outfit. He looks cool. I don't know, whatever. retweeted like every compliment he's ever gotten in his life. Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, Johnny Gargano. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Johnny Gargano. I host little chat sessions some nights where I'll actually talk and reply, and you know, because I remember what it was like to be a wrestling fan. I remember how cool it is to talk to a wrestler, especially if, you know, it can put a smile on your face. I'm all for it. So you can talk to me on there sometimes. You can go to my website. That's www.johnny.gargano.com. My webmaster is awesome. She's immensely talented, and she keeps up to date with everything I do. I don't know how. So you can go to there, and you can see what I'm doing every waking moment of my life.
Well, Johnny, we're going to have you on again soon, and we'll have much to discuss, TV shows, everything that's happened with WrestleCon. I'm sure you know this is going to be a big deal for the DGUSA 4th anniversary. But thank you, as always. It really means a lot for you to be on these shows. You know, I think your career has just come along so much these last 4 years, and I like to think PWP has gotten a little bit more significant since we started. So we are always appreciative of your taking the time to spend with us.
No problem, buddy. You guys are always the website I go to when I need my wrestling news. So, you know, the feeling's mutual.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. So there you have it, our big interview with Johnny Gargano. Thank him so much for the time, as always. Before we get out of here, we're going to get into some plugs. Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find us for results. We will have results of this weekend's big Ring of Honor show in Asheville, not to mention, hopefully, some results from AIW as well. And then, of course, the week after, it's the big one. It's WrestleCon, as we will have results going from shows all over the greater New York area, including the state of New Jersey. We will have a big WrestleMania weekend preview article next week. It will be the definitive look at every show from Ring of Honor, Shimmer, Evolve, Dragon Gate, Chikara, CZW. That is the place to go for a great look at what is to come up this very, or actually next weekend. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me, where I tweet about a number of different things. We want to thank you for your continued support of this website, for reading and for listening, especially after last week with the Kevin Steen interview. We are so appreciative of your support. The only way this website continues to exist is because of all of the wonderful people that we have following us on our Twitters and reading and retweeting and all that good stuff. Please leave a 4 or 5 star review on iTunes if you get a chance. That would be really great. Also, if you go, there are two banners that we would like for you to click on and make some purchases. Highspots.com. We are a part of their affiliate program, which means that for every time you buy a DVD, when you click on the link that is on our website, that means that we will get a small kickback from that. And it is a way to support your favorite independent wrestling company, as well as us here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. So please do that. Please consider supporting. Also, in the bottom right-hand corner, WWNLive.com. Go through that link, set up an account, and purchase some of the shows next weekend. Obviously, you know, it is. It could be a very expensive weekend, but even if it is only one show, if it's a DGUSA show, a Chikara show, please consider purchasing one of the wonderful independent wrestling companies that is running that weekend. For Johnny Gargano and for everyone here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, my name is Jerome Cusan. Thank you very much for listening and supporting.